Yeah. I like reading from Health Food. You know, we were talking this morning about the prayer of agreement. This is further down, but this is May 17th and May 18th. It said, while I was holding a meeting in Pasadena, Texas, a woman called from Canton, Texas, and said, Brother Hagin, would it be all right for me to bring my little daughter down there for prayer? She has epilepsy. Now, by faith, my prayer group has claimed her healing, but the manifestation hasn't come yet. She still has the seizures. We don't want to get into unbelief. Would it be all right for us to bring her down there for you to lay hands on her? I said, yes, but only under certain circumstances. I'll not be able to counsel with you while you're here. I just don't have the time. When you come into the prayer line, say to the Lord, now, Lord, we're not coming down here to receive healing like the rest of the people, because by faith, we already believe that we have received healing. We're coming down here to agree that she is healed. Well, she came to the meeting and brought her daughter to the prayer line and did what I told her to do. 2 years later, I saw this woman at a meeting we were having in Dallas. She testified that from that day we agreed until then, the child never had another epileptic seizure. See, this is the power of agreement. Where two or three touch and agree, or agree is touching, anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of the Father which is in heaven. So the next day, he said, after a meeting one time, a woman came up to me and said, Brother Hagin, I have an incurable condition in my body. It isn't fatal, that is, it wouldn't kill me, but it might shorten my life 5 or 10 years. And with the right medication, I can control it. But it is incurable. I've been believing God, trying to appropriate healing. But when you told the story about that little girl who stood in the healing line for agreement, it triggered something inside me. I thought, I'm going down there for him to agree with me that I'm healed. So I prayed, agreeing with her that she was healed. This is Brother Hagin saying. Sometime later, this woman wrote a letter to me and said, from the moment you agreed with me in the prayer line until now, I haven't had another symptom. In fact, I've been back to the same doctors and they can't find a trace of the condition. It has disappeared. There's power in agreement. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30 says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? One can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. There's power in agreement. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That just excites me, because sometimes we're not holding on. That's not the right word. But sometimes we're confronted with issues or situations, and if it's something that God has promised in His Word, then we can get in agreement with it. That's one way. That's one way. It's not the only way, but it's one way. And so, thank God for what's been bought and paid for and promised. Isn't that good? Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that Your Word is forever settled in heaven. We thank You for the word concerning healing, and we thank You for the promise of healing and salvation, which includes that. And we thank You, Father, for this imperishable seed, incorruptible seed, and we thank You for it. And Father, we open our hearts to receive more watering of seed that's already been planted. And it may be seed for the first time, but we open our hearts to water the seed that we've already had planted. And Father, we thank You today for the Holy Spirit who's amongst us, in us, and we thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your presence here. We thank You for Your unfailing desire, your desire to unfold the Word to us. And Father, as we open the Word and we speak it and we let it in, we thank You that it bringeth light unto those that desire it. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as I was putting some notes together this afternoon for this, it just, I wanted to kind of hook up where I've been with the seed. And let's just turn over for a moment. We're talking about healing, and I want to just focus on this in that we're God's garden. We're God's garden. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to just start here today. And again, all of this is in the context of healing. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God?" He gave us the Holy Ghost. And what does this say? "You're not your own." See, you are not your own. For, verse 20, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit," what? "Which are God's." God owns us. He owns this field. What is this field? He owns this body. He owns this garden. My spirit, my heart. So God holds the, you could say, the title deed. He owns the deed to me. He owns me. And so now, just, you can turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You can back up. But in 1 Peter, you don't have to turn there. It says, "Being born again," what? "Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by what? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So we've been born again, and by not corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, and we are God's, in other words, he owns us. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. What price? That incorruptible seed, the seed of God, and the blood of Jesus, and his sacrifice, that redemption bought us. We were purchased back. And so when that seed was planted, it says here, "You're not your own. You were bought with a price." But 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, when it talks about seed, see, I liked this scripture. And it talks about planting and watering and so forth. And we talk about the subject of healing. Healing is going to come about by doing what? Planting and watering, and then there's going to be harvest. There's going to be an increase, right? And you can see here in this particular scripture verse, it says, Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, he says, "I have" what? "Planted." What did he plant? He planted the word of God, the seed of the word of God. And he said what? "I have planted," and then what? Apollos did what? He watered. He watered what was planted. But God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? One. There's no difference. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Now look, this, I like this. This in the King James here, it said, we don't talk like this, but it says, "Ye are God's husbandry." Right? We don't talk like that. And it says, "Ye are God's building." That's what we just got done reading in 1 Corinthians 6. We're not our own. We are God's. Now, husbandry, if you look that word up, it means a farm or a garden. That's what that means. It said, ye are God's husbandry. If you look that up in the Greek, it just in a Greek concordance, it says field. Something that's, the word they use is cultivable. Not cultivatable, but cultivable. Try to say that word, right? You get tongue-tied saying it. But it just means something that can be cultivated. So husbandry means a field or a garden. So what does that mean? What is that saying? Ye are God's field. Now, what's interesting is if you look it up in the new, if you look this up and read this in the New Living Translation, listen to this. It says, I planted the seed in your hearts. I like the way the New Living reads. This is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. It says, Paul says, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it to grow. I like that. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Now listen to verse 9 in the New Living. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. See, this is the word husbandry. So the New Living expresses it in the way we would talk. You are God's field. You are God's building. That's what we got done reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm God's field. What does that mean? My heart is, my spirit. My spirit is the field, and the seed has to be planted in the field, in the heart. And that's what Paul said. I planted the seed. That's what he said in the New Living. I planted the seed in your hearts. See, he's talking to the church at Corinth. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. So there has to be the constant planting and watering. And this is one thing that Brother Hagin, you know, if you've read any of his books or listened to anything, or other people have shared things that he have shared. He said this all throughout his life. He said, one of the reasons that Christians are not as successful in their faith walk is because they reject the watering process. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. The seed can't just be planted. It must be constantly watered, 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 watered. Watered. Now, at some point there's a planting, but then it has to be watered and constantly watered and constantly watered and acted upon. And who gives the increase? God gives the increase. But we have to plant it. We have to get it in our hearts, and then it has to be watered. And watering is the constant hearing of the Word of God. And that waters, and again, faith without works is dead. So that constant hearing and then acting upon it is watering the word. That's watering the word. So this word husbandry means farm or garden, which we just heard here in the New Living. It says you are God's field, or you are God's building. So God bought us with an infinite price, you could say, or he bought us with a price, and we're God's field or garden. And so he bought us so that we could be his field. We are what? The body of Christ. So when we came into this experience of being in Christ, we're his field. And the only way that you can produce, What does it say that we've been given his great and precious promises, that by these you might partake of his divine nature? So it's the planting of his incorruptible seed in this field that's going to produce the harvest. So he bought us with a price, and we are his field. We're his garden, right? You see that? So the seed, as we've been sharing, is powerless unless it's planted. You know, just from my own curiosity, I looked this up over the weekend because I was up in Pennsylvania and I was just sharing these lessons, or started to share, and I was just curious. I said, what's the oldest seed that's ever been discovered and planted and germinated and actually grew? It's very interesting. You can look it up on the internet. I just typed in oldest seed. So they found one seed in around Jerusalem that was 2,000 years old. They carbon dated it 2,000, and it grew. It germinated and grew and produced. Now they found another seed in Siberia. You can look this up. In Russia, in Siberia, it was encased in permafrost. You know, if you don't know what that is, I can't help you, but it just means it's ground that's been frozen, and it's, you know, the ground that's been frozen, but it was sealed in that. And they found it. They said they found it over 100 feet down in the permafrost. And they said they took that out, they carbon dated it 32,000 years old. And they took it and they grew it. It grew and it produced. So that means that if a seed, that seed has the potential, we're just talking in the natural now, the seed has the potential in it to produce. But it's got to be what? Planted. It's got to be put in the soil. It's got to be put in the right conditions. It's got to be watered and nurtured, and it'll produce. So just think about that. If we talk about, when we're talking about healing, if we take the Word of God, which has the potential in it to bring to pass, this has got God's, as we were sharing a few Sundays ago, I was sharing that the seed itself, this word seed, is the word in the Greek called sperma. And so it has within it the actual DNA of God in the seed. What? In the Word. In the Word of God. So when we constantly get the Word into what? This garden, this spirit, which is good ground, if it's watered, who gives the increase? God gives the increase. We don't have to make it grow. He's doing the growing. He's making it come an increase. He's the one that says, God giveth the increase. But we have to do what? We have to plant the seed and we have to water it. And that was one of the things that Brother Hagin kept saying. He said, the reason in some areas we're not as successful is because we reject the watering process. We've got to constantly water, listen to the Word, keep it ever before our eyes, keep it in the what? The midst of your heart. Keep it in the field. Keep it in the garden. Keep it watered. And what happens? It says it'll grow. It'll produce. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you look at this, God can't make the seed grow unless it's watered, right? You got to water it. And it's got to be kept in the ground. It's got to be kept in good ground. So the growing comes after the watering. The growing comes after the watering, right? So when you think about this, just think of Joshua 1:8. Think of all the other scriptures, Proverbs 4:20 through 23. God's intent is that we spend our lives sowing and watering so that he can produce a harvest, what, in this garden? Not distracted in a lot of life. See, because we can see And we'll go over there in a minute. We'll go over to Matthew 13 and Luke 8. Just think about that. There are four different types of ground. Three of them didn't produce. And so if we don't continue to plant water and keep the ground good, right? What does it say? It says some were on the wayside or footpath. One was in rocky soil. One was in soil that was with thorns and thistles. And the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches did what? Choke the word. So the ground was key. The garden was key. You got to keep the garden clear and clean. And one thing, you know, when you look at, turn over to Hebrews chapter 6 for a moment. When we look at the seed, and we're talking about the seed from Luke 8:11, it says, the seed is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 6 and 11, 6 and 17. And 18. The seed is, or we could say the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Another word we could use or say, it says it's immutable. You know, if you look that word immutable up in the dictionary, it just says something that is not susceptible to change. It can't change. So just interesting, when you look that word up, that word's used in the Bible. It's where I'm sending you, Hebrews 6. The seed is immutable. It's not capable of changing. It can't change. So when we talk about the seed or the word of God being forever settled in heaven, it would be unjust for God to withhold something from us that he's promised. He's a just God. So if he ever withheld one thing from us, he'd be unjust. So it's his word is forever settled. In Hebrews 10 it said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for what? He is faithful that promised. He's faithful that promised. So God makes every seed grow that's planted and watered. He maketh it to grow. Hallelujah. Just another scripture verse. I'm just reading this and then we'll look at Hebrews 6. Jeremiah 1:12, he says, I will hasten my word to what? To perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. Hebrews 6:17, it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto you, unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel. Let me read this from the New Living, because it reads a little easier. The New Living Translation. It says, God also bound himself with an oath. He bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. That's the immutability of his counsel. He'll never change his mind. God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. So in other words, when he says, by his stripes ye were healed, he has to fulfill that. He watches over his word to perform it. But we've got to plant that. We've got to receive it, plant it, and water it. And then he makes it grow. He makes it grow. He fulfills that. And we've said this so many times. If you get enough of God's word in your spirit, It'll make things change in your body. It has to. It has to. Excuse me. It'd be a little toasty in here. And don't give me that groaning business. It's too toasty in here. Anyways, turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, let's look at verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. And this is a familiar verses of Scripture from verse 6 to 11. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." I'm reading from the King James. "Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon." Now, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Now look what he says here. So he's talking about seed, right? But then in verse 11, what does he say? "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void or empty or not capable of being fruitful or produced," is what he's saying. "But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." So his word, his seed, will produce. It will produce. It has to produce. But it's got to be watered. Got to be planted. What did it say? Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He made it to grow. But we've got to plant it and constantly water it." Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to share a few thoughts here before we turn over to Matthew 13. Actually, we can go to Luke 8. But when we talk about words, words are containers. And something that is apparent to me, that words convey thoughts. Words contain thoughts. Or you could say words are containers of our thoughts. When you express a word, you say a word, you know, you think, "I'm cold," or you say, "I'm cold," right? You just expressed what you thought. People do it all the time. They're fearful. You can't see fear, but people, through emotions or whatever, they're seeing, feeling, touching, whatever, they see something, they internalize it, and so they express in their words fear, right? So thoughts are really, your words express your thoughts. And those words are seeds. They can be planted. That's why, what does the scripture say in Proverbs 18? It says, "Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So words produce something. See, when we talk about seed, words and seeds, the seed is the Word of God. The seed of the Word of God will, when it's planted and watered, produce something. And it's no different in the natural. If we keep saying something and we put it in our heart and we keep watering it by us constantly saying it, it's going to produce something because it's going to lead you to make some choices and decisions that will fulfill what you're saying. You see, it'll bear fruit. And so if you constantly are saying, I'm so sick, or, you know, we had this, or, you know, those kind of things, and you say that enough, then it'll reap a harvest somewhere. In some way, a harvest will be produced based on your words. And so when we talk about words, words are spiritual. You can't see a thought. You know, if we're going back to this. If thoughts are spiritual and our words contain our thoughts, they're containers of thoughts that we've had. That's why it's so important what we read, what we listen to, what we hear, right? Because somebody has written a book, has sung a song, has penned words that expresses what they think. And they're either being motivated by good or evil. And so when we internalize and we take in those words, we begin to put some seed in our spirit that may not be the right kind of seed. And if you keep watering it, then it can affect you in a negative way. It can affect you in your thinking. It can affect you in your choices that you make. It can affect you in a certain way, right, that may not be godly. So that's why it's important that we constantly feed on the Word of God. We get God's Word in our heart and we water it so that if we get enough seed, it overpowers and pushes out. That's why, what does the Scripture say? It pushes out and does what? It renews or transforms our mind, our thinking. That's what Romans 12:2 says. Be not conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? By the seed. It's the watering of the seed that's been planted. That watering will do what? Transform your thinking. So maybe you were a negative person. Maybe you were a worrier. Maybe you were this or that. It'll change you. Because the seed, what does the Scripture say? Let me just pull it up here. I'm thinking about a particular Scripture in 1 John chapter 3. It says, being born again, I'm just going to pull it up here from my notes. And just hold steady here while I find it. It was I'll go over here. I believe it was 1 John. I'll just look it up instead of looking at it. 1 John 3 and verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. The New Living says practice sin. For his seed remaineth in him. The seed of the Word of God remains in us, so we're not comfortable anymore doing some things that we used to do. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the same thing. If we get the seed of the Word of God in us, and we keep watering it, that we're going to walk out of some things. So you may have had a mindset in your thinking that, you know, I'm not sure about overcoming this sickness, or I'm not sure. Maybe you have fear, maybe you have intrepidation. But if you get enough of God's Word and you keep watering it, you're going to, sooner or later, there's going to be a harvest that says, I don't have that anymore. I've got it. I'm healed. I'm whole. And it's working in me. That's why I say when we looked at that Scripture, that His Word, the seed of God's Word, is working effectively or mightily in me. Why? Because I believe. I believe the Word of God. So, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And these words that we're feeding on are containers. They're spirit. They're containers of, let's go this way, let's go back a step here. When we talk about words containing thoughts, well, what is the Word of God? The Word of God contains God's thoughts. And His thoughts for us are what? Are good. He said, my words are what? Spirit, and they're life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Those are His thoughts, and they're for our good. When He says, by His stripes ye were healed, those are His thoughts. They were put in this Logos word. And so the same way that people in the natural place their thoughts in words, the intents of their heart, so did God. He put His thoughts in His Word. And if we take that Word, the seed of the Word, and get it into this garden, this Spirit, and we water it, God gives the increase. God gives the increase. That's what we're talking about. God will take that Word and cause you, maketh it, that's what He said, as the rain cometh down and the snow and it returneth not thither, so is my word that goeth forth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, wherewith I sent it. That means that if I get enough of God's word, He's going to make it grow and make organs function that didn't function properly. He's going to make them work. But I've got to plant it and I've got to water it. I've got to keep watering it. What am I saying? Keep listening to it. Keep feeding it. Keep it before your eyes. Keep it in your ears. Keep it in your heart. Right? Keep watering it. Keep speaking it. Keep saying it every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I am healed. Thank you that the Word is working in me mightily, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. And you keep saying that. I'm telling you, things that didn't work, things that might be not working properly are going to work properly. We've got to believe that. See, that's part of the receiving. See, and we're going to jump over here. Let's turn over to Matthew 13. And then we'll go to Luke 8. Matthew 13 and verse 18. Matthew 13 and verse 18. God's word will produce. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He gives the increase. He makes the seed grow. Hallelujah. So Matthew 13, when we're talking about here, let's back up here for a second. I want to look at, well, no, we can, that's all right. Look at verse 18. And it said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was what? Sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, let's go over to Luke chapter 8. And I want to start in verse 4. Because when you look at the different Gospels, it helps a little bit to answer some things or give some light. But Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. And, you know, we've been looking at, in these other lessons that I've been sharing on the power of the seed, when we talk about a wayside, or the New Living Translation says a footpath, someone may ask, well, how could the devil come and take something that was sown in his heart? How could the wicked one take that away? Well, and it says it understandeth it not. But let's take a look at Luke chapter 8, and starting in verse 4, now at this point, he's speaking in parables to those that have assembled. And it says here in verse 4, when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. Now, this is interesting right here. He said, a sower went out to sow his seed. So now he's talking in a parable. A sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. See, you didn't read that in Matthew, did you? It says, he receiveth it and understandeth it not. This is saying in the parable, not what he unfolded to his disciples. But in the parable, he's saying, the seed, it fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. Now, I just, for me, I looked up the word trodden, T-R-O-D-D-E-N. Very interesting, because this word in the Greek, trodden down, in the Greek, says to trample down, but the figurative meaning means to reject with disdain. It means to reject with disdain. That's what that is. So he's speaking in parables, and he's saying, hey, the sower went out to sow some seed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. It was rejected. It was not received. Right? And because of that, right, what happened? It said it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air did what? Devoured it. So you can see further down when he unfolds this to his disciples. He said here, down in verse 12, he said, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But it was trodden down. It was not received. It was rejected. That's what that means. And so we cannot afford to in any way reject the word. It's got to be received and planted. See, remember we're talking about two things. We're God's garden. We're his husbandry. We're his field. But we've got to, in order for, and Paul said what? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So we've got to plant seed in this garden, in this field, in this spirit, and it's got to be watered. And God gives the increase, see? So now, if you continue with this, right? Look at verse 6. It says it was, verse 5, it says, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. We're reading Luke 8, 6. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because what? It lacked moisture, watering. It's the watering. It's the planting. So the first one by the wayside, it said it was trodden down. They rejected it. They didn't even allow it to be planted. But now here, this by this fell upon a rock, it says here, or in the King James, the Matthew, it says rocky soil, right? But here it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture, no watering. You see? It lacked moisture. In verse 7, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now jump down to verse 11. And of course, he's now, you know, his disciples in verse 9, it says, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he continues, and verse 11, he said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So now you can see here, he's saying the word of God is the seed. So now let's look at that. The seed, if it's the word of God, cannot be trodden down. And it needs moisture. You see? So verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. See? Now, Let's think about this. You know, you can go over into Luke and you can look at also the other Gospels and see when God says, let me show you a person who's builds their house. And he lists two types of houses that are built. One was digged down deep and built upon a rock. And when the winds came and beat against that house, it couldn't fall. And then it talks about how another person built their house on sand and it didn't have a foundation. And when the winds came, it said it swept away that house. So you can see here that the type of what? Ground that it was put on mattered. So we have to take a look here and see what kind of ground do we have. And verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. See, so maybe it produced, you know, some fruit, but it wasn't to what? Perfection. It never reached the place where it was ready to pick. It was full maturity. See? It choked it. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with what? Patience. With patience. Hallelujah. So let's take a look. Let's just go over to Proverbs 4. So God's word, his seed, is medicine. That's what we're talking about. God's word, or his seed, is medicine. Not like medicine, it is medicine. It's life and health. So what does it say? It is life and health. That margin for that word health is medicine. It is medicine. So if we need more medicine, how are we going to do that? If we need more medicine to come in, supernatural medicine, to deal with some natural issue, we need more of God's seed. We need more watering, more watering, more watering, and it'll produce. It'll produce. It'll produce what? Health and healing in our bodies. So Proverbs chapter 4 says, my son, do what? Attend to my words, or you could say attend to the seed. Attend to the seed. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, or incline thine ear unto the seed. Let them, the seed, not depart from thine eyes. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them, the seed, in the midst of thine heart. See, this is what we're talking about when you go back and you look at Matthew and Luke on the sower. They kept the seed in the ground. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. For they, the seed, are life unto those that find them, and health. The seed is health. It's medicine to what? To all thy flesh. Keep thine heart. Keep the ground. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So the heart is the center. It's our core. It's the ground. Hallelujah. Some of these, I like some of these other translations. The Amplified, when it talks about verse 22, it says, for they are life to those who find them, health, healing, and health to all their flesh. What does that mean? Healing and health. Well, if you need healing in your body, it's healing. Health means I'm walking in divine health. I'm literally walking in divine health. So the word, the seed, is healing and health to what? To all thy flesh. To all thy flesh. But you've got to constantly pay attention to it. You've got to keep it before open to your ears. Keep it in your sight. Don't let it from your sight. And keep it in the midst of thine heart. For it is life unto those that find it. And those that, and it's life and what? Medicine. It's healing to our whole body. That's what the New Living says. Hallelujah. I like some of these other translations. It says, they are life to those who find them, and they heal the whole body. What does? The seed does. The word heals the whole body. It's life and health to all our flesh. That means to the whole body. It's life and health. The Good News Translation, it says, they will give life and health to anyone who understands them. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. See, that's what we're talking about. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Thoughts are spiritual. If you keep feeding, that's why I appreciate, I remember Elder Doris McClester's daughter, when we saw her, I saw her, and I really didn't know what was going on, but when we were at Elder Charles' homegoing service, a memorial service, she had a little repast locally here, and so we were all there, and we were eating, and she said, well, I'm heading back to Texas, I'm going back down there. And she said, well, you know, the doctors say I have fourth stage cancer and so forth and so on, right? So she was expressing that. I said, well, okay, you know, praise God. She said, well, I'm getting in the car and I'm driving back. I'm like, well, praise God. Okay. She don't let no grass grow under her. So she got in the car and she headed there, and I could see her on Facebook, and she took her a couple days to get there, took her time, 2 or 3 days, but she got back down there, and this is what she told me. She said, I had to leave because this doctor I was going to was negative. That's what she said. She said, this doctor, and she was in Jersey, she said, this doctor she was seeing kept saying, if you don't do this, you're going to die. If you don't do this, you're going to die. And she said, no, I don't believe that. Now, she just said it just bothered her. And he was negative and negative. If you don't do my treatment, you will die. And so she said, I can't go to him. I can't. So she refused and she said, well, I'm just going to go back down to Texas. I'm going to see somebody else. Now, she got down there and then we saw her in February at Winter Bible Seminar. She came and she was there, you know, at that those meetings, and she was beaming, and she came up and she said, let me tell you my praise report. She said, I went to the doctor. They can't find one trace of cancer in my body. She said, they can't find one trace in my body. And she said, the doctors did nothing. See, this is what I'm talking about. See, and I'm not telling you to do this. I'm certainly not. But what I'm saying is you've got to be led. You've got to be so convinced that God's word is working. That's why I'm saying that we cannot question. That's why I was reading. Let me just see if I can read that excerpt that I read from F.F. Bosworth's book. On the seed, but he made a point which was tremendous. Let me just here. I'm going to just find it here. If you hold on a second, he made a comment in his book that was absolutely tremendous. About here's what he said. This is just great revelation. And again, this was in the book Christ the Healer. And so we're talking about healing. But this was on in Christ the Healer, from the Healer. He said, we should realize that the five senses belong to the natural man and that they were given to us to be used for the things of this world. So the five senses were given to man for the things of this world. To navigate, to see, to hear, to feel, to taste, to smell. They were given to us for this world. And this is what he said. But the things of God cannot be discerned and appropriated and known by the natural senses. And he said, no physical sensation such as pain, weakness, or sickness can ever be a good reason for doubting the fulfillment of any divine promise. Oh, that right there just excites me. No pain, no weakness, no sickness can ever be a reason to doubt the fulfillment of any divine purpose of God. Any promise of God cannot be a reason. He said, how foolish it would be to doubt the promise of Christ's second coming because I felt sick or weak or had a pain. And if a pain is not a good reason for doubting one promise, it is not a good reason for doubting any promise. God is just as faithful to one promise as to another. Therefore, it is equally as foolish to doubt God's promise to heal because of pain or any disagreeable feeling as it is to question Christ's second coming because of these things. Satan cannot hinder the seed from doing its work unless we allow him to get the seed out of the ground. See? He can only do this by getting you to turn your attention away from the Word of God to your circumstances or symptoms. See? If we keep the seed planted in the ground and we keep watering it, he cannot cause the seed to not grow. Because it's, Paul said, I watered, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Satan can't stop the harvest of the seed. He can't stop it. If we, with patience, faith and patience, we receive the promises. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to stop because I could go a little more. Praise the Lord. but the seed will produce. The seed of healing will produce in this garden. We are God's garden. And it will produce if we keep it in the ground and we keep watering it. It will produce a harvest of health and healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah.